Wow. Praise the Lord this morning. Can we give him a hand clap of praise? He is worthy. We are in a time where we need to be rejoicing in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Great is our God and worthy to be praised. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today I ask your strength over this word. God, I ask your strength in our hearts as believers for true surrender, for true submission in our individual lives, for your kingdom's sake. Father, I just pray today that you do great and mighty things in every home in this church today. That you would prepare us to be the light and the salt that you have declared that we should be. And I pray today, God, that we would evaluate ourselves, who we are as individuals. Who are we? God, we cannot be the people you intend for us to be if we do things our way. But God, teach us through your word to be obedient and live surrendered for your kingdom's sake, that we could show a generation that praising your name and proclaiming your righteousness is the freedom that don't come from government but comes from your throne room. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may have to bear with me today. Are you ready? Somebody say praise the Lord. Today I want to talk to you about self-control. And in 1993, in the 90s, we had some awesome Christian music that for us as young people that was coming up, and there was a guy named Carmen. And I challenge you, go look up Carmen's music. 1993, this is a song that this is part of it, and this is a recitation from part of the song he done, We Need God in America Again. Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay, name synonymous with the spirit of our country, founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty, then put it in our schools as a light. Or since Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God from the equation of American life. Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. James Madison said, we've staked our future on the ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart. These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the Word of God. In his farewell address, Washington said, you cannot have national morality apart from religious principle. Abraham Lincoln said, the philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. And boy, are we not seeing that come true today. So when you eliminate the Word of God from the classroom and politics, you eliminate the nation that Word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancy and violent crime, number one in illiteracy, drugs, and divorce. And every day, a new holocaust of 5,000 unborn die while pornography flood the streets like open sewers. America's dead and dying hand is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah vexes us all. When it gets to the point when people would rather come out of the closet than to clean it, is a sign the judgment of God is going to fall. If there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it is now. It is now. And as blood-bought saints of the living God, it's time that we proclaim, and it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God in America again. Amen. Self-control. That's a song by Carmen. But self-control, what is it? What is self-control? Webster's Dictionary says this: the ability to control oneself, particularly one's emotions. Please hear this. One's emotions and desires, or the expression of them in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations. Self-control. Where does self-control come from? When a body doesn't seek his or her creator, it is impossible to walk in self-control. Completely impossible to walk in self-control when we don't surrender our life, our emotions, our mind to Jesus. It's by him that we're able to have self-control. Galatians 5:22, the scripture says this: but the fruit, and I want you to notice if you're reading along this with me, it is not fruits, it is fruit. It is fruit, singular. It is not, we're not talking about multiple fruit here. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness. Hang on, let me back up. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. I kind of look at the, if you read your bulletin, I look at everything that encompasses the fruit. This is what makes a person complete in life, because there's not a person alive that don't want love. And we don't want, that don't want joy, and that don't want peace. And if you're going to have love, joy, and peace, you're going to have to endure some long suffering. And then you got to learn kindness to endure the long suffering so you can keep your love and your joy and your peace. And then you better have some goodness, because you're going to have to be good for goodness sake if you're going to have the rest of them. And then faithfulness. I've got to remain faithful to the one who created me, and I got to walk in all gentleness for his kingdom's sake. And the ultimate skin of the fruit is self-control. Self-control. When a people loses self-control, they begin to look at other ways to control themselves and then other people. The lack of self-control or surrender to the one who created them. I want to back up here just a minute and notice at the end of verse 22, 23, he said, against such there is no law. We start looking for ways when we can't walk in the fullness of the fruit of God in our life, we start looking for other ways to govern ourselves. So we start doing our list of do's and don'ts, and then we trust laws, and then we start, well, I go to church, and I do this, and I do that, and I don't speed, and I... Okay. But we're not walking in the fullness of God. So we create laws, and that's what society has done. When we begin to look at other ways to control themselves and then other people because of a lack of self-control, surrender to the one who created them is how self-control begins. It causes people to turn to government to fix their messes. So they got to start creating laws because we got no self-control. And when we look at our government today, our government is busy governing sexual immorality instead of governing a nation. And the reason that we are so rampant in sexual immorality is because of the lack of self-control and an unwillingness to surrender to the Creator. And it's even crept off into the church. And that's why there's can be churches today of LGBTQ churches. And let me tell you something, friend, they'll be here after the rapture's taken place too. And if the church that says it's blood-bought don't surrender to its Creator, they'll be here having church. So it is a double-edged sword. So people turn to government to fix their messes. If we surrendered to the control and understood His word, culture would teach abstinence. Instead, if we taught this, we could fix the majority of the abortion issue. Instead, safe sex has been taught and been pushed, and safe sex didn't stop unwanted pregnancy. And if we'd have taught abstinence, well, what's abstinence? Abstinence is do not have engage in sex between a man and a woman until you are married in a covenant with Almighty God. That's biblical principle. God designed sex between a man and a woman. When we abuse that privilege and engage in sex because we want to do that, we begin to morally erode our culture and our society. And when we begin to do a little moral and erosion of a culture and of our society, then we begin to see a landslide of immorality coming out of the closets with homosexuality. And it's not taking that long, folks. In 1993, we heard this song by Carmen, and you think, man, I lived in the country. I was born in Punkintown, South Carolina. Population of my town's 38. So I wasn't, you know, we were raised in the Bible Belt, if you will. But we've used the Bible Belt excuse for too long, and we're not walking in the Bible Belt. You walk in the Word. Walk in the Word. Walk in the Word means we know what's going on. Noah Webster could quote the Bible chapter and verse. Don't that make you sick that a man could do that? Man, I wish I had that ability, but why do we study God's Word? Because God will bring it back to your remembrance. Have you ever studied the Word and then you find yourself in an uncomfortable situation and the Word of God begins to come back and be the light in that darkness that you're facing with family problems and situations? But if we would have taught abstinence and taught our children abstinence, we wouldn't be having the problem even in the Christian church that we have today, but we didn't teach abstinence, we taught safe sex, because that's what the culture said we ought to do. It was a little bit better, it was more popular with our children. Now our children are struggling with homosexuality, struggling with their males and females, struggling if they're really a boy or really a girl, so we'll just create another gender. And when you begin to move away from the Word of God and the principles of God and the character of God in a society, this is what you get. So we create laws to help fix the problem. We thought a couple of years ago, boy, it's awesome at Roe v. Wade that this is happening with Roe v. Wade. It's on the ballot now this year, big time, that abortion's going to be the number one issue. Really? With what's going on in this nation, we're going to make abortion the number one issue? Why don't we get our morals corrected and we wouldn't have an abortion issue? And I'm telling you, that's what's got to happen all over. We need to begin to repent and crawl on our face before a mighty God and say we're sorry because we've not taught our children His ways, and we've taught them our ways, and we've justified the sin they live in now to the point thinking that, oh, it's not going to happen at my house, but it's what knocking down your door and destroying your family. And until the people of God begin to call on His name, it'll never change. Safe sex didn't stop unwanted pregnancy. However, abstinence would have. Then abortion was the answer for unwanted pregnancy. That's right, kill the babies. It's their fault. Then society voted in politicians that would justify the fact that culture has absolutely no self-control, killing millions of babies. These babies were God's creation. His word, if we would have read it, we would know before a baby was formed in his mother's womb, He knew him. If we would have known that moral principle, we wouldn't be so eager to think it's okay to kill an unborn baby. But now in 2024, it ain't unborn. Let's let them go all the way into the delivery room, and then they say we will keep the baby comfortable. How far will we go down the wrong road? These seemingly innocent steps of false freedoms has created a landslide of immorality. And yes, culture is looking for politicians to stand for their cause. Many say, I was born this way, when they find themselves in a homosexual lifestyle. I was born this way. No, you were not. Your filthy desires of self-indulgence has created an evil heart in you. Who you have sex with is not a birth problem. It is a sin problem driven by no self-control. Who you have sex with is a choice. Romans 1. And I'm going to give you just some straight up word. We're going to get away from opinion. We're going to move away from everything about Frankie today. It's never, the gospel ain't about a person except Jesus. And when you move away from Him, His fabric, His character, and who He is, we start getting what we've... You keep on doing what you always done, you're going to always get what you always got. So here's what it says in Romans, and I'm just going to go to reading. Are y'all ready? Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. What is? The wrath of God. We don't want to think God of... is a God of wrath. We don't want to think He's a wrathful God, but when men will not surrender to Him, where this culture and this world is reaping what it has sown. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile. The word futile means pointless. They became futile in their thoughts. And then their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Verse 24 says, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. We've said too long in America, tolerate me. God, I'm coming to your heaven. No, there's a border wall at heaven. There's a border wall, and Jesus is the door. And when you get there, and He says, Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. That's a border wall. So if you one of them that don't like border walls, you better get ready, because your eternity is going to be faced by a border wall. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned with the lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. What is God's wrath against? Unrighteousness. Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. When the Bible says God gave them up, that is a fault. There's the false religion. And it leads to personal immorality. The same Greek phrase is repeated in verse 26 and 28, indicating that the terrible truth as immoral and self-directive adjectives, our culture has wanted it their way, and God, you accept me for who I am. I get to be this way because I'm in a free America. Again, government don't make you free. Jesus sets you free. John wrote, if the Son has made you free, you're free indeed. It don't matter if they put you in a prison cell. If you don't believe that, go read the New Testament church in the book of Acts when they threw Paul and Silas in jail. And they begin to praise and sing praises to the King of all creation and the one that created them. And even the prisons couldn't hold them, and they were set free. What God wants to do is set mankind free. God never gave His word that it would condemn you to a devil's hell. God gave you His word that you could see the condemnation that sets on you, and God purchased you with His Son's life's blood so that you could be set free from death, hell, and the grave. You are purchased, you are bought, and when the blood of Jesus is applied to your life, the Scripture teaches us that we're washed whiter than snow. But yet the church has this mentality: sin a little every day. Sin is knowing I'm doing wrong and going to do it anyway. You may have a bad attitude tomorrow because you may wake up with a headache or not feeling good or whatever the excuse, you may wake up with a bad attitude, and as the day progresses, the Lord starts convicting you, okay, you need to walk away from that. That's what God does. But God don't let us, as Christians, Jesus came to eradicate sin. Do you believe that? That's the Word of God. If you don't believe it, you don't believe the Bible. He eradicate means do away with. But when you water it down, and you water down the truth, and you water down who you are, and you water down biblical principles, and you keep eroding the fact, and you move further and further away, and I just have to ask you, I don't want you to answer me, but when's the last time you picked it up and read it for yourself? Because, see, you can't understand His principle and His character when you don't know what He says to you. And when you pick it up and you begin to read it, and he begins, you read a passage of scripture, and then he starts downloading a book to you about you. That's what the Bible does to me. That's what the Bible does to me. It is a reflection of who I am. It shows me my impurities. And it builds conviction in my heart that I don't want to be that man anymore. And the only way that I can't be the man that I am is to turn to the one who was. He is the great I am. He is the one that will change you. He is the one that will transform you. He is the one that will break sin's bondage over you and set you free, because you're hungry for who he is and for what he has for you. Homosexuality is not who you are. That is a lie from the devil's hell. Transgenderism is not who you are. That is a lie from the depths of hell. And God wants to set you free. His son died on that cross so that you didn't have to live in that bondage any longer. So the Word of God shows me who I am. And then I have to begin to cry out to the Father, change me. Don't let me talk that way. Don't let me be that way. Don't let me be that man, Lord. If his own son had a desire not to go to the cross, do you not think you're going to struggle with desires? Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. I don't want this one. But it was required of him a cruel death so that you and me could be free today. And your death to yourself must be shown to your children so that they can understand that the freedom that you're walking in didn't come from a government or from a nation. It came from the throne room of Almighty God, purchased by the Son himself, Jesus Christ. And then here's some information that needs to come into the church today and be understood by the church. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? What is the unrighteous? Here's a list of unrighteousness. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because there's a border wall. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, set apart, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So I have a message to all politicians who don't favor self-control, and to people in the church that don't favor self-control, because this would destroy your cesspool of destruction in this nation. Stop governing sexual immorality and homosexuality and transgenderism and confusing our children and telling them you have the right to choose. Young people, God created you to be just exactly who you are. And if you're not proud of who you are, you're not proud of your Creator. Stop governing immorality and secure our borders. Stop all of this nonsense. Stop promoting policies of destruction and bow your faces. This needs to happen from our local leaders to our White House and even in our churches. Bow your faces to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and bring a revival to this nation, because you choose to turn from your evil by self-control, by recognizing that I can't depend on me, I need Almighty God. 2 Chronicles 7, 14, 12, I'm going to start in verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayers And I have chosen a place for myself, a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among the people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. It is time that God's people begin to surrender to Him, to His authority. It's to gain self-control because we love the Lord. Let me tell you something. We've wore this love out. We want to love. We want to just love. But we can't love sin in the process of that. We got to, God, love the sin. Love the person. Hate the sin. Hate the sin. God hates sin. Hates it. That's what the Bible says. He hates sin. Politicians like Hillary Clinton call people that feel like I feel today. Conservatives, if you're a conservative, you're labeled as a Trumper. Well, at least he stands for some principles that I stand on. Hillary Clinton says conservative people are a basket of deplorables. Deplorables refers to something deserving of strong condemnation. Extremely bad, disgraceful, or unacceptable. Those are the policies you've stood for, Miss Clinton. You need to look at the policies that you've promoted. They all look at the, and they all come from the fact that you don't honor God and you don't want people to have self-control. And again, if my people, which are called by my name, every one of us were created in the image of God. Everyone sitting in this room, and it is time for these people to surrender to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I got one I want to share with you. When David was confronted by Nathan the prophet, David was king. He could do just what he wanted to. He was the top of the chain. There wasn't nobody else. Hello? Right? It's David. It's King David. The buck stopped right here. Except David had a creator just like you and I do. When David was confronted by Nathan the prophet, his heart was broken. This was his prayer in Psalm 51 in verse 6. I'm going to share parts of it with you. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. What's he saying? You desire self-control. David is acknowledging this part. And in the hidden parts, you will make me to know wisdom. Verse 8 says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Two part of the fruit, joy and gladness. That the bones you have broken may rejoice. There's a third part. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. The only way this nation can get away from the point of no return is to begin to repent, regain self-control. I'm going to ask y'all to stand with me. Come on, Wayne. This morning, I wanted to give you straight word. And if you're going to argue with the word, then and here it is. Let's do away with the Ten Commandments. Let's take them off the courthouse. Let's take them out of the courthouse. Let's take the Bible out of the schoolhouse. Let's just keep eroding away. Keep moving it further and further and further. Let me tell you something. You can move it wherever you want to move it to. It don't change the fact that it exists. And just because you've removed it and won't stand on it, don't mean you won't be judged by it. You're going to be judged by this word right here. I'm going to make a plea to everybody watching us on Facebook. If you got family members, my door is open. You are not. Let me. Y'all play soft for a minute right here. Y'all bear with me because I got to say this. I'm broken over this stuff. I am broken that sin can be this rampant. If you think you're a homosexual and you're hung in that garbage for the rest of your life and you're condemned and you think there's no hope for you, you show up at my office. We will lay in the floor and waller and sling tears and throw snot and cry and call on God until we get an answer from heaven. I make my door an open door for you because you are not where you are because you're condemned from the beginning of this world. I'm telling you, Jesus purchased you and you can be set free if you're ready to get away from what's bothering you. Hallelujah. This is what's wrong with discipleship in our nation. The church has wanted to take the information you have and condemn people by it. Stop it. Share the gospel with them. Tell them what God has done for you and how He set you free. I remember the drinking and the partying and the immoral life that I used to live. But praise God and praise be to Jesus. I'm not that man anymore. Paul wrote, all things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You can be a new creation in Jesus if you'll just surrender to Him. Make yourself available to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and let Him transform your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's got to stop somewhere, and it's got to start somewhere. God, start with me. Start with me. That is my prayer today. God, start with me. If that's your prayer in this place, and you got family members, you got things going on in your family, and you need a move of God in your family, I want you to begin to make your way this way and begin to be earnest with God about His transforming life over your family in Jesus' name. Make your way this way as the band begins to play. Come on, get real with God. Get real with where you are. Get real with what your needs are with Him. Begin to cry out to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and watch your life be transformed, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. God wants to move in.